Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater, that's Dan Kinnis. And Dan, last week I said we got a lot of stuff to do last week, so we're going to skip the pleasantries. My notes today are two pages instead of one page. So there is a lot that we can get to.
Yeah.
I hope you all like this longer format. If you don't, let me know if you want it to go longer. I could always add more questions for Dan.
Mm.
So Dan, what did we talk about this week?
Yeah, it's good to be together with you, Austin, and good to be with everyone who's watching or listening to us as well. We are in the book of James right now as a congregation. Just started that a couple weeks ago, so we were still in chapter one this past week, and noted how at the outset James is kind of generally laying out some topics that are often challenging for us, areas of life to live genuinely in our faith, holy, as we've been talking about. And he starts getting a little more specific as we go through the letter into some of those areas. And as we got to the end of chapter one, we start seeing a little bit more of that already. And really, we said that the idea here is James clearly already has said we need to be doing the word, right? We need to be actively engaging our faith. We can't just hear it. He says that in these verses. He'll say it again and again, actually all the way throughout the letter. So the question becomes, well, okay, we need to be engaging our faith. We need to engage the world around us. How do we go about that? And so that was how we approached this set of verses and really seeing how the Spirit was calling James to communicate, well, we need to be immersed in God's word to do that well. If we want to engage the word fruitfully, bearing God's fruit from it, we need to be immersed in his word so that we are being guided by that, not by our own word, not by the culture's word, not anything else. And so, you know, he gives good examples of the person looking in the mirror to help us think about that. And then the end verses of the chapter get in, and this is a bit of what that looks like and how we live. There is this personal holiness. We are living with the character of God in our lives, but it's not this shut-off kind of life. It is still engaged, and we're concerned about the needs of others. And so there's this social responsibility, too. So the word is our guide and also then pushes us toward those ends, the fruitful ends that James has in mind for us. And just very relevant words for us today, but as we were talking before we came on, always would be. These are always issues, if you look over the history of the church, that Christians are wrestling with and talking about. And we're not going to, by any means, give all the answers or solutions for that, but boy, it's good to have God's Word and James to help us have some founding principles to talk about. So
James is quickly becoming one of my favorite books. Even this series aside, like there's just so much good in there.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we talked about right at the start was, you know, we need to be quick to listen to God's Word as opposed to our own word. Which, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously should be doing a lot more of our personal time in Scripture. You know, that's really, especially as Protestants, that's, you know, kind of something really important.
Yes.
We need to spend our own time investigating God's Word,
sure,
mulling it over, meditating on it. But one of the things, and this is a very, very meta question, but one of the things that many people do is, you know, we're going to find a podcast where someone can talk about, you know, hey, I want to know more about what God's word is saying here. I want to be able to interpret God's word a little better. This podcast is kind of an effort for us to,
sure,
like, provide that need because, you know, we want more growth. We want people who have the time to look into these questions to help us answer them. But how do we make sure that the people we're listening to are actually speaking God's word? Rather than just their own word or whatever word they feel we want to hear.
Yeah, that's a great question. We live in an era where we have so much access to a lot of information. And, I mean, if two guys like us can do a podcast, I mean,
because if we can figure this out,
just about anybody can,
right?
And so we do have to be a bit wary. I guess I'm, encouraged or that this was actually always been the case. There wasn't podcasts 2,000 years ago, but there was all these itinerant traveling speakers and preachers. And you can see even in some of Paul's letters, he's dealing with that, like not just anybody who comes to you and tells you things is maybe worth listening to. As he's writing to the Romans in that letter, he's laying out his whole gospel so that they might know this is the same gospel you believed in, not something that someone's just doing for their own benefit or whatever it might be. So one encouragement I would have for us in our day, because we do have the internet and access, so you come across somebody recommends a podcast or something, Well, you can do some research. Like, who is this person that's talking? What are their credentials, so to speak? Where are they coming from? Are they part of a church? Are they a pastor in a church? Are they, you know, what tradition are they from? And you can look into all these things. If you can't find anything, I would maybe be a little leery of that, because usually it's out there pretty easily to find, you know, where that's coming from. I haven't really done it, but you could probably search my name and see, you know, some of these things about some of my history or education, where I'm coming from denominationally, all that. So that's one thing you can do. Another, of course, thing is kind of use the way of the Bereans. We come across in Acts, and when Paul comes, they, because they had been in the scriptures, were able to, okay, we heard what you said. Let's test that. We'll go deeper. Let's investigate that. So you hear someone say something, and maybe it catches your attention. Oh, instead of just saying, well, that must be the truth, investigate it yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, look at the passages. You can do that work, right? I think there's a capability we have, especially with how God's given us the availability of his word now in our language, to explore that and look into it. You know, it can be helpful. I know it's changing the landscape now with, like, denominational things. But for our tradition, our forms of unity are a helpful way to kind of look at that. Okay, well, we see these things as how we interpret Scripture. They help us look at that, whether that's the Heidelberg Catechism, the Belgic Confession, the Canons of Dort, or you go to the creeds, even more universally accepted with the Apostles' Creed. Right. And if something's out of line there...
If someone is not in agreement with the Nicene Creed, you can usually assume, like, oh, yeah, there might be a little something sketch here.
Yeah, that's accepted by the overall Orthodox Church, not just the Greek Orthodox Church, but, like...
Yeah, the church.
Yeah, the church at large. So those are good kind of funnels to put some of that information through to see, oh, is this matching up? Well, this isn't Trinitarian, right? Someone's talking they're not talking about that. Well, that's maybe something I got to flag, or something else isn't matching up there. And so there could be other things, but to start with what Austin said, that, you know, it's good for us to be in the Word ourselves, because then we do have more of an ability to say, that doesn't quite sit right with what I've encountered in the Word. Right. I need to do some more investigation. We always need to be learning. So sometimes I hope our podcast too helps us think freshly about that too. But that's a great question. And I would encourage others to be like the Bereans, as it were, and to be testing what you're hearing against the Word and what God is saying. And
it can just be fun. I know some people are not like built for that. Like, let's talk this out, you know, but it can also be just a fun way to build relationship and community.
I just want to follow up that briefly, because that's a good recognition. Not all of us are wired that way. Like, oh, I hear this and I'm going to go investigate. Not everybody has the time maybe to do that. So if you do have people you trust, and maybe that is leaders in the church that you know, you could ask also. You could ask, like, have you heard of this person? Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. But you could go to that too, people you trust in the faith, to ask them. If you encounter this, or maybe, would you listen to this? Just give me your honest feedback. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the time or giftedness or, you know, whatever you put it, that kind of mindset to kind of dive and, you know, do all this pulling apart yourself, you could ask others that you trust too. So
Yeah, that's an important part. A large portion of the sermon kind of revolved around anger. And so that is something I do want to spend some time on today. Because one of your slides, and I love this so much, and we could spend so long on just this one statement, but our anger doesn't produce God's justice. Mm-hmm. Again, I could spend so much time on that, but I channeled it here. Our responses to the injustices of this world should really be to emulate God's character rather than our own. You know, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. However, we see examples of God being angry all the time in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. And even in the New Testament, you do see Jesus getting less violently angry, one might say, with the exception of, like, the fig tree and the temple. But really, we do see... We do see a little bit of a difference there. So two questions. First, is it ever okay for us to try and channel God's anger? And then two, is there a difference between the anger of God the Father and the anger of Jesus?
Mm-hmm. So I think we kind of got it in the sermon. James, you know, the slide was basically directly taken from the text, right, of, you know, human anger does not produce God's righteousness. I substituted the word justice there, but... it's a great question, right? And I think there are things, tried to say that in the message too, that should upset us, right? Sin should upset us in our lives, in the world around us, injustices, violence, these things that aren't the way it's supposed to be should be upsetting to us. And, you know, so I want to say that up front, right? There are things that should bother us. If not, you know, that's wrong too, right? Because there are things wrong in us, in the world around us.
If we can't identify that there is sin in this world, then we have another problem we're dealing with.
Right. And so that starting there, right, there should be things that upset us. How do we handle that? So I think the problem, as I'm even talking personally about this, I want to think that my anger in situations like that and responding to things is perfectly righteous. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a holy anger.
Right.
And while the anger might come from a good place of like, yeah, this isn't right, I think we have to be more honest with ourselves that it rarely, if ever, is truly holy anger. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the moment it is, but the more time that goes on and we're holding on to it, it's usually morphing much more and more and more toward just human anger and something that's not going to produce fruit and I'm not going to respond well out of. And so I think that's the inclination for us. We want to assume that our anger in these situations is the same as God's. But God's anger is righteous. He is just in his response. He has every right justly to punish us for our sins. So we see in the Old Testament, as hard as us for us to sometimes see that, right? God, in the times when, say, the Israelites are disobeying, rebelling, they have no sense to call for injustice there. I mean, the wages of sin are death, right? And God's acting. He's acting in a holy sense. And that's where I would say to your second question, there really isn't a difference there between the expressions of the Father and the Son in that there is a holiness coming out of that. There is a righteousness. It's not tainted in the way my response is or, as I continue in it, will be. We see now a new era of salvation coming to us in Jesus. And especially as Jesus goes to the cross, we see God's anger or wrath, as we use that word, his justice satisfied there. And so that when we confess our faith in Jesus, now that anger is turned away from us, right? Just like it was in the Old Testament placed on those lambs and that lamb that was sent out of the camp, right? That's what's the case for us now. So there is this new era coming in, but that's the difference between what I'm experiencing. I want it to be a holy anger, but we're human beings.
Yeah.
And as much as we like to think we're fully right and justified, and we might be on the side, so to speak, of that is sinful, that's wrong. But when we respond out of anger, we just don't do it well. It doesn't produce the fruit, like James says, the righteousness that God desires. So did I get to your
question? I think you did, there? Yeah. And so then I'd love to like break that down a little bit more, because a lot of the time, we spend a lot of time in the sermon also talking about, you know, our social responsibility and our responsibility to be making, this is part of being doers of the word, is that we're involved both on a personal sense for quest for righteousness and becoming more like God, and also to make our world more like the kingdom of heaven. So that requires this social involvement. What I have noticed is that both in churches and in places where we're, it shouldn't be separate. First off, it shouldn't be that the places that we are, you know, having our personal holiness quest working on, and then the social responsibility, they shouldn't be separate. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. They are. But in both of those contexts, often, especially as of late, it has seemed like anger becomes almost a requirement to participate. Or, like, I'm not going to participate with you because you're not angry about this enough, or you're not angry about this in the right way. What do we do about that when, again, both either in our churches or the places of social engagement are being fueled so much more by anger, even if it is at times a righteous in origin?
Right. Yes. Yes. Boy, and this is where I'd say, and it sounds simple to say this, like this is where we need people who are being shaped by the word in those settings to help, because a lot of times it's like, this is an injustice. This isn't right. What's going on here? But it's like we are approaching it out of anger, and our responses or maybe even decisions of how we respond are showing that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, this is where we need that character of those who can maybe take a step back and say, okay, I can't be responding out of anger here if we're going to bear God's fruit. I need to think about how he's calling me to go about this. This is upsetting, and it breaks my heart, right, to see that. but how do we respond in this way? Because that's otherwise we just kind of gather together and there's a bunch of angry people responding in angry ways. And like we said, and I use this example because it hit home to me, just the injustice whack-a-mole game.
Yeah.
And yeah, we might have, out of our anger, put that down. But then what happened is we brought something else up, right? And this happens all the time in our society, I think, where it's like, oh, this has been such an injustice, and we kind of go too far. We really hammer that down, and then we raise up another injustice. Mm-hmm. And we noted a few scriptural examples even of that, and it just doesn't work that way. And so if you are part of communities and groups where, hey, we're seeking to engage, we have a social responsibility here. We want to engage this issue that's going on, whether that's you know, having to do with sanctity of life, whether it has to do with economic injustices, or whatever it might be. And you see, oh, there's some anger here. Being able to help the group step back and say, okay, this is clearly upsetting. We need to take some time to process that so that we can respond in a good way, in a healthy way. Boy, that's hard to do. I'm saying that.
It's hard to do.
I just had an example of that, too, talking with someone else. And just this idea of even, you know, it's easy to get angry at a person or a group of people or a kind of even a position.
Yeah.
We do that really well these days. Mm-hmm. I think part of the move here is to take away, like, okay, I'm not just going to sit there in that anger. I also, maybe we need just to name the grief over what's happening here. And that's upsetting to me. This is harming people. This is harming God's world. This is harming the way things are supposed to be. And grief is still hard for us, and we need to kind of process that too, but it's, you've already moved then to a different place
right.
from anger. And maybe starts like a foundation that we're coming off of, like more of a caring, like we need to see some positive direction here. I'm not just looking to slam somebody that's on the other side, which is going to create other problems. I want to see, and we want to be agents of God's kingdom here coming in. And that probably sounds like almost an impossibility, but that's where we need this word from James to help shape our character, because it's so easy. We just kind of build, anger kind of builds on itself. And if we're all together in anger, we just kind of feed off of it. Like, yes, we all need to be angry together. And yes, we need to be moved to respond at times. I think of Nehemiah. Nehemiah hears that report about what's going on in Jerusalem, and it breaks his heart. Mm-hmm. And he's no doubt upset about it. But I think about how he went about that prayerfully and then was led to action. And so it wasn't, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel, stepped up and took action, but it wasn't out of anger as he went back to Jerusalem there. It was to try and build the city back up and seeing God's will and hand in it. And going forward to do that work to rebuild the walls. So I think there's an example there. We should see things and be moved by things that break our heart in our lives. But we can't hold on to anger. Anger can't be what's driving us. It needs to be really this longing for God's kingdom and his way, and to see that and wanting that for others too, instead of just wanting to win an argument, to put someone down, which is more of an angry response.
Yeah. Well, and even from the effectiveness part of that, you know, taking aside all of this, you know, spiritual stuff, like we're supposed to do this spiritually, if you're wanting to convince someone, acting out of anger is not going to bring them to understand your position.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just practically not going to be how...
Yes, I agree. And, you know, it's...
And that's putting aside the spiritual stuff, which is, for those of us listening to this podcast, that should be primary there.
And I think James is getting at that too, right? There's a place, as we've talked about before, for apologetic discussions. And some people are looking for that. They want to talk about it. This doesn't make sense to me. Help me understand why you think it makes sense. Yeah, I'm thankful for people who are gifted in that realm. But in the everyday world, I think it's rarer that someone is going to, you're just going to come up to them, think you make a convincing argument, and they were going to say, oh, Austin, yeah, never saw that. I'm a Christian now. Or I see your issue right. your way. I mean, we're pretty entrenched in those things. Just you coming at me, especially with kind of a angry, vociferous, to use a big word, kind of arguments, probably not going to do it. But if I know you and I see a heart and a really passion, well, then I might listen more. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm seeing like, well, this is a different way. That, I think, in my experience, has probably more effect on people and might bring about change than just, yeah, telling someone they're wrong or trying to come at it from that angry position or just trying to, kind of defeat someone in some sort of argument kind of way.
Yeah. So I mentioned earlier that, like, it seems that sometimes our places of, you know, like the church, where we're trying to personally grow and become holy and be more Christ-like, and then these areas where we're trying to be socially involved, socially responsible, which these are both commandments mm-hmm. that we're supposed to do, we've kind of separated that. And you mm-hmm. indicated that during the sermon. There's a whole ton of research about the concept of the great sort right now, where this is where it's talking about basically that, where, you know, we're kind of dividing into, are we more about the personal holiness? Are we more about the making change socially? Mm-hmm. And like we were saying, that's not good. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. So once we've recognized, hey, I or my community have been defined as being on one side of this rather than the other, how do we kind of reunify? How do we bring that back together into the place where it should be?
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope spending time in a word like James 1 and 26 and 27, there is a helpful step in that direction because it is, you feel that tension, and it's like, oh, that's, I guess, yeah, thinking if we just talked about grief, it is a grief because that's not supposed to be there. That's not supposed to be like either or kind of thing. And there's dangers on either side. And I guess my grief is we need people who are passionate on both ends. We need to live together because otherwise we tend to go in a ditch on either side. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate that we are kind of going into those camps because we just have even more large blind spots that we're not seeing. And so that's my grief for the church, is that we need to come together. Yes, sometimes I'm going to be maybe frustrated because your emphasis is falling more this way and I'm more passionate this way, but we need to have that because at times we need to get pulled back a little bit this way and think about our social responsibility. Other times we need to be aware, like, hey, we're kind of listening a lot to the word of the culture here. We're trying to invest in social things, but we got to get back to God's word too and make sure we need all of that. And so I think my encouragement too is, again, be an advocate for that, you know, in our settings, in our groups, in our churches. Like, we need both things, right? Don't so easily give up on, well, I guess you're just the social justice church. Well, I guess you're just the personal piety church. The church is healthier when we're together in that and we're pushing each other in those, in that one direction rather than one or the other. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, in the history of the church, we've seen kind of the two ditches we get into, and it's the extremes of both of those sides. The one where we just become all about truth and we have no expression really of love, even in the church sometimes, and we kind of get into that ditch and our life isn't matching up with what we profess. And then we have the other side where we are really good at loving our neighbor and going there, but we have no concept of the truth of the word and the scripture, and we've lost sight of that. We're listening to maybe the word of our culture, and those have always been. We see it in Paul's writings, the two ditches we find ourselves in. And the more we separate out, the more easy it is for us to fall in those ditches, personally and collectively. Yeah. And so that's my appeal, my plea is, you know, that we would heed this word and how James, very clearly, verse 27 says, religion that God accepts as pure and faithful is this. And then he says those two things. And it says, take care of the widows and the orphans. We need to have social responsibility, see people with needs, meet it. And to keep ourselves from being defiled by the world. Like, there it is.
Yeah.
Right there. Like, it's all one. That's the life following Christ. So I think, as typically most of us maybe fall on, you were passionate about a little more one side than the other. Be aware of that. Know that about ourselves and see the value of someone who can talk to me who's maybe passionate, maybe a little bit the other way.
Well, and I think immediately, you know, the I cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. Mm. And so I think, in our conversations with people who we know are at a different spot, being open to be like, what do they have to teach me that I might have as a blind spot because I don't know or I'm not as invested or insert here.
Yeah, that's a really good word. Yeah, we need each other. God's designed it that way, especially in this.
And so, just because we have different ways of living that out or passions of living that out does not mean that the other is useless or what mm-hmm. have you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So being in God's word shapes our passions for justice in God's way. Mm. That's kind of what we've been saying this whole time, is like, we really need to be involved in God's word. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if we haven't been as invested in God's word, as steeped in God's word, especially, you know, in the context of justice and anger and what we've been talking about today. Are there any passages that you would highly recommend we spend a little more intentional personal time in?
Oh, sure. Oh boy, yeah, there's quite a few. I mean, the prophets is a good place to start. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of good passages that speak toward justice and how God sees these things. You know, you could think of Micah 6, verse 8. It's kind of a very well-known one. Our GEMS ministry, that's often been one of their theme verses. So there's a lot good when God's calling his people out in those cases. They're not always easy to read, but he's trying to call them to his way of doing things. He'll talk about things like, oh, you're doing fasting in this, but it's not for the proper reasons. It's more of just we're going through the motions. We're hearing the word, but we're not really doing it. You know, I would always point people to the Gospels because if you really want to see this in full, look at Jesus, who is able to maintain, of course, his purity, and yet he's engaging the tax collectors, the sinners, and the Pharisees, and the religious leaders, and he's engaging them on all these levels. And so he's walking that fine line of social responsibility and calling people to the way of God and naming the injustices and kicking out demons and all these things, and yet living the life of faith, of course, fully. So always, you know, we have the Jesus example to follow. We want to walk in Jesus' way. And so just if you probably read the Gospels before or listened to them before, but with that lens, you know, how does Jesus live here? How is he approaching these issues? And even some of the questions that get asked of him when they're trying to trip him up, yeah. And how does he respond, right?
And I feel like the Sermon on the Mount especially is a great portion. If you haven't revisited those portions of Matthew especially, those I have found have been very good for me as I've revisited, like, what is justice and righteousness look like?
Yes, yes. Yeah, because Jesus talks it there, you know, blessed are the merciful, but he also says blessed are the pure in heart, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There you go again. These two things, right? There is this kind of, we almost call them the need beatitudes, where you're seeking to meet, you know, those around me, and then the ones like are my need. You know, I'm poor in spirit. You know, and Jesus speaks blessing into that too. And so, there is again both sides right there. Just even in that opening chapter five of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, and all of it's there too. Again, for the way we're living, when Jesus says, "Yeah, you've heard it say, do not murder," but I tell you. You know, and he goes deeper into it, and it's both personal and relational. So yeah, there's really good stuff there. I mean, you could probably find it a lot of places, but that's Sermon on the Mount's a great place in the Gospels. Some of the prophets like Micah, you know, Amos is calling out, you know, how God's people should be acting. You know, a lot of the prophets, we see that in Isaiah and Jeremiah too, of course. And yeah, and it's right there, you know, even in the Torah, right? If you go to Deuteronomy 6, you know, and, you know, love the Lord your God with all your, you know, it's write these things on your heart, right? It's you need to hear, O Israel, hear the Lord our God, he is one, and then live these things out. And so it's all there, I think, in Scripture. But those are good places to start.
Yeah.
Let's read that with those lens, take some time to sit with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What can we be looking forward to next week?
So we're going to continue in James into chapter 2. And as we get into chapter 2, James is going to get, again, a little more specific, really get into some of the meat of things he wants to talk about. So in the opening of chapter 1, he touched on wealth a little bit, and this can be a little bit of a fractured piece of our faith when it comes to resources and how we react to people who have wealth, maybe. Well, he's going to go into that, and the main topic here is favoritism and how we tend to maybe, treat people differently based on outside things like wealth. That's his major example. But we can talk about some other ways that we might be tend to play favorites, even when it comes to, just our cultures, what's acceptable as far as behavior, what's not. Boy, as long as you don't sin in these ways, you know, you're kind of pandered to and you're a favorite here. But if you mess up this way, you're not a favorite, right? And so there's lots of different ways that can come out. But playing favorites is what we titled the message this week. And so it's, again, very relevant.
I'm excited.
Very challenging. So.
Sounds spicy, and I'm here for it. Well, thank you, Dan, so much for your time. Thanks to all of you for watching and listening. Don't forget, by the way, this is new, but since we now have the video portion, don't forget to like and subscribe. That helps make sure that everyone else who wants to hear this can hear it. We would love it if you do that. Thank you again so much. Go in peace, and we will see you all next time.